If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator. Thank you guys for hopping on here and listening to me. I have a pretty cool podcast for you guys today. It's a client from Canada. He is bringing home a new dog. He's being proactive and wanted to do a online session with me to make sure that he's doing everything that he needs to do. So it's about an hour-long podcast about what to do, how to do, and any information when you bring home a new dog. And I just wanted to also thank whoever, I'm not sure, but we had a notification on Facebook, which I don't check too often, but there's a notification on Facebook from this company called blogfeedspot.com, and it basically reviews all these different things online. And it said that we were entered for one of the top dog podcasts in the world. And so I clicked on it, and we actually ranked number one. So I'm really happy about that. So I don't know how it worked, if it was analytics. It basically said that it works through analytics and marketing and how people responded to things. And so anywho, thank you for everybody who supports the No Bad Dogs podcast and listens to it and downloads it and tells their friends about it, because we were rated number one out of 15 out of thousands of applicants for this dog training or dog podcast. So thank you guys very, very much. I mean, there's some big names on this list, and we came out number one for I don't know why, but awesome. So thank you guys. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and here we go.
Tom, nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. How's your day?
Good. It was pretty good. We had a seminar yesterday, or like Saturday, Sunday. My buddy from San Jose flew in and did a two-day seminar. And so we're like playing catch-up slash recovery, because we had like 45 people here for the weekend. So.
Wow. So that was was that the canine training?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, and we also did like some behavioral stuff in the morning with a bunch of people. So we had our hands tied pretty much all weekend. So today's kind of back to reality. And what do you got going on?
Well, this might be a weird one for you, because I don't have a dog yet. But we get her on Thursday. So why I want to do this is just kind of pick your brain and maybe have you help me kind of put together a plan, or kind of like a, you know, a daily schedule, weekly schedule kind of thing.
Sure.
Just to kind of help, you know, integrate this puppy into our lives.
Okay.
So yeah, it's me. It's me and my girlfriend. Sorry.
Okay. Is she there now or no?
No, she's at school.
Okay. I'm just looking for a pen. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks.
What?
puppy going to be?
Puppy is 4 months.
And what information can you give me about the puppy's breed and stuff?
So it's a rescue coming from Taiwan. So it's a Formosan Mountain Dog, is one of the many names. It's mixed with something, but they're not sure what. Let's see if I can.
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
So that's her there. I don't know if you can see it.
I can see that. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's kind of like I've dealt with like mountain curs before. I haven't dealt with this type of mountain dog.
Okay. So from what they've told us, she's pretty well behaved. They have her in a foster with a couple other dogs. According to the foster, they have them in crates at night. So she's crate trained. And she does well in the crate. It's kind of tough to communicate with the people here and then the people in Taiwan. Trying to get the whole story. So they kind of do like a rating on their page of, you know, how they do with strangers, how they do with other dogs. But I mean, at only 4 months, it's pretty hard to tell. And then they just kind of send us photos, send us videos. Basically I'm just planning on, coming with a plan or a schedule, to start crate training right away, as if she hasn't been in a crate. So I don't really know where to start. From what I've read, they're pretty high energy, pretty loyal, intelligent. I've rescued a dog before. It was a Australian Kelpie, and it was about 2 years old when we got it, and we didn't really have a plan. I was with my ex at the time, and you know, like everyone else, we thought we knew what we were doing, and he had a whole lot of energy, and it was tough to kind of focus on him. And we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have a plan. And so I just want to do this one correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with, what is your daily routine like? Your schedule, time wise, right, etc.
Okay. So I'm Monday to Friday, 7 to 3.
And your
girlfriend? Yep. She's in school to be an RMT, massage therapist. She has another year left. She is in school Monday, Tuesday, Friday. She leaves. She leaves about 8 o'clock, and then I'm home about 3. So it's a 7-hour gap.
Okay. So on the rating that you were talking about, how good is this dog with other dogs, in their opinion?
They say 5 out of 5.
Ooh, all right. I like that.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. So first things first, I would say I wouldn't be worrying so much about behavioral training, meaning what you should be focusing on is getting a dog in a routine, getting the dog understanding that you guys have rules, boundaries, and structure. Don't put your focus in the training aspect as far as sit, down, stay, heel, etc. That stuff you can always do later. Always, always, always. That stuff is easy. The preliminary foundation in the relationship is gonna be your main goal of set the tone, set the bar, and start that way. Okay. Meaning, let me put it to you this way: if you start a new job and your boss just doesn't care about anything at all, and then 6 months later all of a sudden is a hard ass and is completely and entirely different, you're going to be really weirded out and you're really going to have a hard time following these directions.
Right.
Because of the prior relationship that you have. So take that into consideration. So, but if you start a job and your boss is cool, but kind of like a very structured, organized person, throughout that time frame, if he starts adding other tasks or ask you to do other things, it's going to be easy, no brainer. Right?
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about. Training can come later. Set your boundaries of who you are to the dog first.
Okay.
The individual tasks that you ask the dog to do and or the individual things that you want the dog to do can always come later. And it could be a month. It could be 6 months. But don't worry about that so much right now. So first thing I want to say is like, the most important thing to this dog is going to be exercise. So I would be proactively looking for, if the dog's 5 out of 5, you should have no problem with the daycare.
Yeah.
I personally like daycares. I have one here, but it's not for every dog. It's for a 5 out of 5 dog.
Okay.
However, if that's true, you'll have no problems. If it's not, then we'll talk about that at a different time.
Okay.
Because of course, who knows? Who really knows? It could be 5 out of 5 with the dog that they know very well. And
you know,
read between the lines there. So that's going to be my main concern with you guys starting off. And the way that I'm looking at it is exactly, it is what it is. You called me and you say, hey man, I'm going to get a dog. You're a professional. You've been doing this a long time. What would you recommend? And I would tell you that what you want to do is what the only concern that I would say is just the amount of time you guys are working.
Yeah.
That amount of time frame for a dog completely out of its comfort zone and that, you know, shocking the system, if you will. The number one thing to do is just give them something to do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you have a task or other friends that are in the same boat, the transition is going to go a lot smoother.
Right.
So finding, I would say, best bet, I'll give you a couple bets. Best bet would be daycare. It's going to give you the most bang for your buck. You're going to pay around. Where are you from?
We're in BC, Canada.
Okay.
It's about 30 bucks a day.
I was going to say, yeah. Usually 30 bucks a day. So on days, so what's your girlfriend's name?
Taylor.
Oh, that's my girlfriend's name too.
Oh, there you go.
So Taylor's working Monday, Tuesday, Friday?
Yes.
Okay, so at school, sorry. And then she's off or home?
Yeah, so she works part-time as a care aide. And the person she cares for said that she can bring the dog over to their
Beautiful.
Place. Yeah.
So we're looking Wednesday, Thursday, mom's
good,
home.
Good to go, yeah.
Okay, so Monday, Tuesday, Friday, you don't have to do all 3 days. It's up to you and your finances. But I would definitely do at least 2 when you transfer.
Okay.
At least. If you can afford more and do all 3, awesome. If you can't, don't worry about it.
Right.
Most daycares usually require 2 days of consistency anyway. So I would say like Monday, Friday, if you were going to choose the dates. Both of them will be good because Saturday, Sunday, chances are you're going to have off. So if you did it Friday, they're going to be tired Saturday. So in my experiences with daycares is the dog's usually really tired the day after as well. So if you did Monday, Tuesday, the dog will be really tired, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, which would be great. But then if you did Monday and Friday, whatever.
Okay.
That's your decision. Anyway, moving forward from there. That's the first thing I would do is just get exercise. The other thing that I would do as far as like what you can do as a dog owner is to start using positive reinforcement to teach behaviors. So first thing, like what you said, is crate. Now, I don't know if I caught sarcasm or not there. Is the dog crate trained or not?
I don't know. So like the whole lost in translation, trying to communicate with people in Taiwan.
So did they say yes?
They said yes.
Okay. So we're going to go with it's not, just in case.
Yeah.
Because if it is, great. Moving on. But if it's not, find out what the dog likes for food. I tell people, don't overthink it. Too many dog owners, and if you've watched anything that I've ever done, you know that I'm a very transparent human being.
Yeah.
And people like my digestible information. So I'm very call it dog training for dummies, if you will.
Yeah.
So try to just be logical. Be like, okay, you don't have to get like all these fancy treats and whatever. Just whatever you're going to feed the dog, kibble, whatever, use that for the rewards. You don't have to do anything extra. You don't have to overdo it. So just using kibble to reward the dog through training is the best thing to do. So you get the crate, and you tell the dog, whatever the dog's name, you say crate, and then he's like, what the hell is that? And then you basically throw a piece of food in there. He goes in there, you reward him. Okay. Good crate, etc. You can use the leash to help lure the dog in, and that's the first step you're going to do for the crate. Is literally taking a handful of food. If the dog's interested in the food, goes, hey, how do I get that? You say crate, and they're like, okay, what is that? And then you throw the food in there. They go in, good crate.
Okay.
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 Don't shut the door. Don't close the dog. Don't do any of that stuff for now. You don't want to create a negative experience with the crate. Again, this is if the dog isn't crate trained.
Right.
So that's what you would do. And then even in a new environment, if the dog is crate trained, because you don't even know if so crate trained to some people, maybe my dog will go into a crate. Crate trained to me means you tell your dog to go in crate, they get in there, they shut up, they lay down, they go to bed.
Right.
For some people, it's like, yeah, my dog won't bite you to go into the crate, but when they get in there, they're going to scream like a lunatic.
Yeah.
So we'll walk through those phases. I'm sure I'll talk to you again after you get the dog. Yeah. So when you get the dog, that's like the first thing, not a lot of pressure, not a lot of corrections, just positively like, hey, crate, yay, good crate, break, etc. Doing that for like 5-minute intervals throughout the day. That way at night you say crate and they go, oh, I know what that is. They run in there. You then pay them with that. And then you shut the crate and then walk away.
Okay.
One thing I can tell you that will do you no good, and you need to stay away from it. It's going to be harder for Taylor than it is for you. Some of the worst case scenarios I've ever seen in my entire life, both behaviorally and just being a downright brat, are the situations where people have a humanistic way of feeling sorry for the dog, then for giving them no rules or boundaries and giving them only cuddle and love.
Yeah.
That, hands down, is one of the worst things that you can do for any dog. Not just a rescue dog, a bought dog, anything. It's just so bad.
Right.
We as humans get a new animal and we want to accept them in our pack by giving them love. Now, generally, canines, if you're welcomed, you're just not dead. They don't kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not this, okay, next up into the, you know, into the pack is Jimmy from wherever. And, you know, there's this huge, no, if you're accepted, you just are able to live.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Think about that. Okay. So when you get the dog in, love the dog, appreciate the dog, but have limitations to say, remember, this is a dog that needs structure. This is a dog that needs a leader immediately. They don't need, you know, all this love and cuddles and on the couch and off the couch. And I love you so much and no boundaries. And it's okay because of this. And it's okay because of that. Again, that's in your mind, not in the dog's mind. So don't be selfish to say, well, this dog's been through what? I mean, this dog's a dog. He's an animal. He probably is just as happy living on the streets than he is with you guys. It's all, you know what I mean? So
I agree with you completely. It's going to be cool. The biggest battle with my girlfriend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is so you have a little bit more ammunition going into it. You could say, well, this guy told me, and again, I don't know everything, and my way isn't the best way, but I give people information of my daily operations of the last 10 years, 7 days a week, 14 hours a day.
Right.
And I would much rather listen to a practitioner than somebody with an ideology of what I think. I'm just telling you from experiences, hundreds of times, of what happens. So when you move forward into that progressionary, yes, this is our new dog, we love them, of course, love them, kiss them, hug them, etc. But also, again, big on balance. Also, make sure that you're stern about the things that you don't want in the future. Okay? Example, if you don't want your dog to jump on you, if you don't want your dog on the furniture, if you don't want your dog whatever, don't allow it when you first get it.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder for you to backtrack.
Right.
First impressions with new dogs is everything. Everything. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So when you first get the dog and it jumps on you, oh my God, I love this dog. It's so sweet. They may look at you as, because you got to understand is like, if I train a dog, I'll give you a perfect example of a board and train. Board and train comes in for 2 weeks. I train it, no jumping. Let's just say no jumping. Mom and dad get there. The dog jumps. They miss the dog. So mentally, they're going to do everything they need to do to just fulfill their fulfillment.
And allow it, yeah.
Exactly. So right there, almost the 2 weeks of training and the $2,500 that they spent on training, gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Because you have to understand that it's not a... It's a very binary relationship. You either care or you don't.
Yeah.
You're either structured or you're not.
Right.
It's just like with people. You'll tell immediately in a relationship whether the person's going to stick up for themselves or they're going to roll over or whatever. Right. So you have to make sure that it's okay if the dog jumps. It's okay if the dog jumps on the furniture. All of that is okay. It's natural. It's totally fine. However, you have to then remove them from that. So don't try to make it unrealistic to say the dog should never jump on me or the furniture. That's not it. All I'm saying is when you start building this relationship with the new dog, don't let anything happen that you don't want to happen in the future.
Okay.
Now, I personally never tell people what they can and can't do with their dogs.
Right.
Ever. Again, I'm just, in my professional opinion and my experiences, these are things that are going to happen if you allow these things to happen. So take that with a grain of salt and you decide what you like, what you don't like, what you want, what you don't want. But you have to make it clear to Taylor, like, hey, listen, whatever we allow this dog to do in the first 24 hours is what the dog's going to do forever.
Okay. So speaking about first impressions, so Thursday night, we go to the airport. We get the dog right from the airport. Friday, I'm going to take off work, so that someone's home. So should we, cause it's a 13-hour flight or something like that. And a 16-hour time difference for the dog. Should I be trying to get her in the crate day one? No.
Okay. So here's how it like is conflicting for me as a professional dog trainer. Some dog trainers will say, absolutely. I'm very, again, to me, it's all about the dog. I don't know that answer. I have no idea. I don't know what to tell you. However, I'll give you two sides of yes and no. If the dog is not startled and completely out of its mind and like, where the hell am I? Who are you? Nervous, scared, uncharacteristic, out of its whack, don't make the dog do anything that the dog doesn't really understand of what you're asking.
Right.
Okay? So, but if the dog comes off the plane, happy-go-lucky, wagging its tail, hey, who are you? Start that training process. I would say yes to the crate, but depending on how the dog's mental state of mind is, will depend on how you approach that process.
Okay, that makes
sense. If the dog is stable and knows what the hell's going on and says, hi, I love you, what's up, you're my new owners, then you'd say, hey, buddy, here's some food. He's going to go, oh my gosh, food, I'm starving. You say, crate, he goes in, boom, 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 feed him in his crate, shut it, go to bed.
Right.
Now, again, the irony of some people watching the things that I do and whatever is like, wow, that the thing is I love dogs way before I started working with them professionally. So I get it. When you get a new puppy, you're It's like Christmas. You're like, yay, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And you should be so excited and stay up until 3 a.m. for all I care. However, just know that, like, when you just, again, think about the future. Think about it in child psychology. We put the toddler down. That's it. Good night. Bye-bye. However you decide to raise your children is up to you, and it has no regard to me at all. However, in theory, if the baby cries and you pick it up, the baby learns, I cry long enough and you're going to come back. So remember that when you put the dog in the crate for the night and shut it, that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you stay up until 6 a.m. playing with the dog. None of that matters. It's great. I don't care. I wouldn't say anything otherwise. However, don't put the dog in the crate and go to bed and then say, maybe we should just let it out because he's crying or whatever. So just make sure you commit to that, because in the future, that's going to play a role.
Okay. What about where the crate should be? Should it be in our bedroom? Should it be in a separate room?
Doesn't matter. It's up to you guys.
Yeah.
I can tell you that if you leave it in your room, okay. I'm going to put a fork in the road in everything that you ask me.
Okay.
That way you can hear the experiences of, like, what has happened in the future, what happens in the past, how I feel about it. If you put it in your room, it's going to go either way. The dog's going to lay down and go to sleep. You guys are cool. Awesome. Done. If you put it in your room and the dog completely loses it, you're going to lose sleep. You're going to have to transition. You're going to have to do all these things. That's that. If you put it downstairs or however, living room, kitchen, however your house is set up. So my dog on cue, she just came up here. Come here, Coda. So she is in my dining room. So she goes into the dining room, and that's where she stays until morning.
Okay.
Two reasons is I don't want to hear her jumping up, twirling around, laying down. Like, my room is my sanction to sleep. That's me, right? Let me have my time. You know, you guys are busy enough people working 5 days a week at least. That's something you got to think about.
Yeah.
You know, don't set something – again, setting your dog up for routine and success is extremely important. So if you're like, hey, we got tight schedules, you're probably up at least at 6 if you got to be there by 7. Taylor's going to school. She's probably up semi-early. So you guys – sleep is going to be important for you. So – making sure that you set that up for the future, because I don't want you to change a lot around, right? Like, well, one night I was in your room closer to you. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you're basically saying, hey, you guys are going to work and you guys are going to be present, and I'm going to pay $100 every day. And then the next week you're like, now you guys are only going to get $5. So your currency is going to change because your dog's going to go. But the first night I was right next to you in your bed. Now I'm downstairs.
Yeah.
Right, so that's going to create conflict. If you give them the cream of the crop and immediately, it's going to be harder for you to regress.
Right.
So, the fork would be if you just started off with downstairs, in the kitchen, in the dining room, whatever. You have the opportunity to say, "Man, my dog just sleeps, goes to bed, no problem." And again, it's going to be about you. Your dog's not going to give a crap if they're next to you or not. But if you and your girlfriend feel like it would be awesome to just have our dog in our room, because that's love and that's what we get dogs, and I appreciate that as well. Some of my dogs sleep in my room as well. Then you can feel very confident that, like, yeah, they're just going to go to bed.
Right.
But don't start off on the wrong foot, because it's going to be hard for you to get out of that.
Okay.
So that's my answer to that.
Okay.
What's the next question in line?
I guess, flash forward, the dog is, you know, a few weeks in, comfortable with us and the home and everything. I guess just kind of like a schedule, a balance of playtime and training and feeding, like, once I'm off work at 3 o'clock, like, what kind of structure I should put together with that?
It's a good question. So you have to understand that when you come home, so again, I'm going to always refer to like what you feel and what the dog feels, because I know both sides of the story.
Yeah.
You're going to come home and get excited because it's your dog and you just spent, you know, 7, 6 to 8 hours at work, and it's awesome to see your dog. It's great. So the moment that you enter the house, you have an opportunity to make that a balanced, calm situation. But you also have the opportunity to just make it very chaotic and stressful and stimulated and all that fun stuff. Okay? So when you come home, so like with my dogs, I've said this many times, and if you've absorbed any of my content, you may have heard this before. When I walk into my house, I walk completely through my dogs. If I have time, I'll say, hey, what's up? Pat them on the back and I'll walk away. But for the majority, when I come home, my dogs look at me and they're like, what's up? And then they walk away.
Right.
Because I don't want to create like a high stressful, high anxiety thing. That's a selfish thing to do as humans, right? We come home and we go, hey, Fluffy, I'm here. And then the dogs are excited and they're, and then when your grandma comes in, and you taught the dog to basically go completely bonkers when somebody comes into the house, and you get upset that your dog's jumping on your cousin or your aunt or your nephews or your grandma, whatever, they're looking at you like, yeah, but this is what we do. So when you come home from work, the reason why I'm starting there is because I'm picturing you walking in. You have to realize that you have the opportunity to set the parameters of the relationship right then and there. So what I would do is walk in. Not, hey, I'm home, right? Just walk in, go to the crate, take the dog out. They're going to be excited as hell. Pop it on the leash, let the dog out to go bathroom. No heeling, no sitting, none of that stuff really matters. You can do it. That's fine. But in a situation of high stimulation and your dog sitting in a crate on a day, maybe they didn't go to daycare, putting them on the leash, letting them into the backyard, letting them outside, however your house is set up, going to the bathroom, yay, good boy, good girl. And then you can start getting into, okay, sit, stay, heel, down, whatever.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess. My next question would just be, you know, how much time should I put towards training, and you know, how much is too much, you know?
Good question. So 5 minute intervals at a time, possibly pushing it to 10, as many times as you want throughout the day. I haven't had a dog that couldn't do 5 minutes at a rip 100 times a day. It's totally fine. So just quality over quantity, remember that. You're not going to want to overdo anything, because that's how you start diluting situations. Good dog training is in sequences. It's in increments. It is in section. The way that I present it to people is very similar to dance or ballet. I've never done it personally, but I do know that they teach, here's how to do this spin, here's how to put this step, here's how to do this, or writing a song, which I've done many times back in my high school days of being in a high school band. You write little pieces at a time to make one big thing.
Okay.
So when you're training, don't overdo it. Master each individual small increment to paint a really big picture, so that that way you're like, hey, you know this, you know this, you know this, you know this. I've mastered all of these things to see a big picture.
Okay.
So when I go out and I heal my dogs, people just think that that's what my dog does. But in actuality, I taught my dog how to walk forward. I taught my dog how to back up. I taught my dog how to look at me. I taught my dog all these things in small increments. So no matter what training you're doing, bomb detection, police work, a sit, a down, no matter what, as long as the dog isn't like completely checking out and being really crappy about their focus and engagement, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, that's totally fine, multiple times a day.
Okay. And do you, like, what's your opinion on a balance of, you know, treats versus praise as a reward system?
Great. You know, I really wish I recorded this conversation for the podcast. This is something a lot of people would benefit from, getting a new dog, but I didn't, because I'm at the I have a home office, and I'm at my facility now. Well, so
I'm recording it on my iPhone, so I can always send it to you.
You are? Oh yeah. My gosh, that would be so brilliant. Yeah. I would absolutely love that. Yeah, if you could pull the audio and send it to me, I would love that. Great. So, good question. One question that many people have, my passion and love for dogs started when I was very young. I mean, I have pictures. Actually, I can probably really quickly show you a picture. Yeah, here it is. I have it on my desktop to kind of like remind me of like why the hell I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if you look at this.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's me when I was about like 4 years old with a puppy.
Yeah.
I can't make that shit up.
No.
Right? Like,
yeah.
you can imagine, like, if like, somebody became this whatever, and you could say back in the day, like, oh, they did it when they were a toddler. Well, I have pictures of me actually working with dogs when I was a toddler. And so my point is this, is I love dogs so much, and I appreciate them more, and I respect them even more. And I can tell you that I've worked with a lot of different dog trainers. I've worked with thousands of different dogs. I've worked with wolves and coyotes in all sorts of different situations. And so the canine to me is as natural as, you know, maybe walking is for other people. Not in the sense of Yoda, of like mastering these types of things, or mastery. My understanding for how they tick is very much ingrained into me. So to answer the question, balance is so crucial. So you want to be the I can control the situations, I have the answers, but at the same time, but I love you and I want you to have fun, aka the perfect parent, right? For humans, right?
Right?
I mean, if you think about it, let's say you adopted a toddler from Bangladesh or Africa, whatever.
Yeah.
They come over and they don't know much of anything. They were born in, you know, a community of volunteers, whatever. You're gonna love them. You're gonna tell them how much you care about them and how much you love them and how empathetic you are to their feelings and their desires and their wants and their needs. However, if they grab a knife, if they try to walk into oncoming traffic, if they do all of these things that could be detrimental to their health or longevity, you are going to very clearly correct these things. You're very clearly going to discipline these things. Now, when I say correct and discipline, to kids, we think yelling, screaming, throwing a fit. To dogs, people automatically assume kicking, punching, whatever. People are weird. And so that's not any of those things that I'm talking about. You want to, in dog language, you want to be able to communicate to the dog what they're doing wrong and how to fix it. And so when we talk about a correction, I always tell people it's like when you're on something and it underlines the word in red and it says, you've spelled this wrong. And it doesn't fix it. It just says, well, then how do you do it, right? And then it tells you and you say, okay. So the next time you're spelling that word, the hope is that you learn that that's what you're supposed to do. So with the dog, you can't ever correct a dog for something that they don't necessarily know unless it's detrimental to their well-being. Okay? So if I have a dog that comes in that is aggressive, I had a dog come in today that was viciously aggressive. When I say that, you're going to think of this snarling, nasty dog, but actually it's a very calm, really determined dog that is very analyzing the situation.
Right.
Right? They sit there and they lock. The most aggressive dogs are the silent ones. It's the silent ones you got to be careful about. The reactive dogs are a bunch of dogs who just talk shit and they yell and they scream and they bark.
Like the German Shepherd you had a few days ago.
Yes, most of the German Shepherds that I have.
Yeah.
So anyway, so when you get the dog home, there's no question, I don't think in anybody's right mind, however, there are some people out there that think this otherwise, there's no question that we have to give a dog rules and boundaries. The real problem people have is how. And a lot of times, the how is the whole failure point where people just give up. Right. They're like, whatever, dude, do whatever the hell you want, because we don't know how to communicate to dogs. So that's something that's probably not in the time frame that we have of how to correct, when to correct, right, etc. But yeah, you have to do it. And I have hundreds of videos on YouTube that can help you through that process.
Right.
So whatever you don't like, you're going to use like a kennel leash or a slip collar. I don't have any in here, but very simple, okay? It basically just applies pressure to the dog.
Right, yep.
So when the dog jumps and the collar pops it, it's getting a negative correction. It's getting some sort of negativity to right, encourage the dog to not do that again.
Right.
Right? Kid tries to walk across the road. You say, you do that again, I'm taking your iPhone away. Chances are they're not even going to go near a road yeah, in today's age. So again, punishment. Don't look at punishment as a physical, abusive person or human. That's not it. Punishment just means we're trying to discourage the behavior happening again for the well-being of whatever we're responsible for.
Right.
So whatever that means to you is what you need to do to your dog. Typically, again, in dog training, it's very simple. You put a slip collar around a dog's neck, they jump up, they get corrected. They jump up, they get corrected.
Right.
The important part to that process and the key thing to that process of being a good balanced dog trainer is to make sure that you are verbally saying to the dog, off, leave it, down, no, whatever.
Right.
You're trying to pair and match up a physical correction with a verbal cue.
Right.
Because in the future, we shouldn't have to have the equipment for the dog to obey or to comply, because right, it's the same spectrum of when I give shit to purely positive reinforcement trainers for only getting the dog to do what you want through food. Well, good purely positive reinforcement trainers in the application of what they're trying to do shouldn't use food or need food to get the dog to do what you want. It's just encouraged throughout the process. So same thing with punishment and balanced dog training. You shouldn't have to have a correction for the dog to listen. The idea is to correct the behavior to try to determine that behavior is something that you don't want and you don't want it to happen again. And so that's the point of, you can't, if you corrected the dog over and over again, there's a chance that they won't do the action again because they think it sucks. But more importantly, if you layer in a verbal marker to tell the dog that that was wrong, the more likelihood of you reinforcing that negative jump, they jump up, off, pop, off, pop, off, pop, right?
Right.
They jump up again, you say off, they're gonna hit the deck on that cue because you said, hey, if you don't do it again, you're gonna get a correction.
Right.
Same thing with positive reinforcement. So going back to the real question that you asked is like, what's the difference? When should I feed the dog? When should I reward the dog? One thing I will say that many dog owners or new dog owners don't understand is your dog doesn't need a steak and your dog doesn't need to be touched and your dog doesn't need a cup full of food to be rewarded. You look at your dog and say, good. They're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Chemicals in their brain go off and they fire and they get all excited. They're super stoked that you even looked at them.
Right.
If you touch them, that's an additive. If you give them food, holy crap, they must have won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
From Canada, so I figured that would
yeah,
be cool.
Yeah.
So, but you get the idea. Reinforcing the stuff that you want. So they go in their crate, yay, good job. You don't need to run and grab food and give them food. Like if you say yay, good job, that's fine.
Okay.
So reinforce the stuff you want through verbal rewards, good, high pitched, anything, whatever. Physical yeah, reward, petting the dog, good job, I love you.
Yeah.
And then giving the dog food is the ultimate. It's not something necessary It just really helps throughout the process. Okay. And then, of course, correcting the dog when they do something wrong.
Okay.
So using just a basic slip collar, which I have on my YouTube channel on how to build that yourself and size it up.
I saw that one. I did tie one of my own. I don't know what I did with it, though. But would you say 4 months? 4 months is a good age to start training right off the bat.
Yeah, I got to stop you there because I started training my dog before they could open their eyes.
Yeah.
So somebody reached out to me locally and they said, "Hey, I love what you do. I know that you're getting into working dogs. I want to help you. I have 2 Dutch Shepherds." Anyway, long story short, I watched them, you know, mate and then be born. So training, you got to understand, starts off on a really early age. Mama bear, if you will, keeps the dogs in line, keeps them in the whelping box, does, you know, picks them up, puts them back, whatever. So before they can even open their little hamster eyes, they're getting structure from day one. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. excuse me. I've even seen brothers and sisters get nasty with each other and growl. I mean, imagine a little hamster dog growling at another dog.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at that moment, I realized, like, how much we as humans are such softies about dog behavior and how much we don't realize what they're capable of and their natural state of minds.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, 4 months is a perfect age.
Right. Okay. And then I just wanted to ask about, like, I noticed you start a lot of your sessions off with just walking around, like, you know, a 20-foot circle just back and forth.
Yep.
So is that basically a good place to start, just walking, you know, within my living room?
Yep. That's what I call a tune-up. So just telling the dog, like, "Hey, I'm going to go this way. And then I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say heel. When I turn and go the other way, I'm going to identify that. I'm going to say, "Hey, I'm going the other way, heel." And I turn. And if they don't follow me, they get a correction, not by me, but by them.
Right.
I turn and go the other way. They're connected to the leash. You know, I'm able to drive a car and have, you know, whatever. They can't, right? They're dogs. So when I turn and go the other way and they don't follow, they get a pop. And then I turn and go the other way, and if they don't follow, they get pop. And eventually what happens is the dog starts following you around on a loose leash. And so, yes, that's a perfect way to introduce leash pressure to a dog.
Okay. And then, I guess just with, you know, out for just a regular walk on the sidewalk, meeting other dogs, should I try to enforce that, you know, we're just on a walk and, you know, we just want to ignore everyone else and just keep going, or stop and meet other dogs to help socialize, or?
It's a great question. Yes and no. If the other dog, I'll try to, as you can tell, every answer I give is longer than what you expected. If you see clearly that the dog is happier than your dog and is friendly as hell, yes. If the signs are unclear and you don't know what the other dog's intentions are, no. Period. It's not worth you figuring it out. It's not worth that person's night of saying, "Let's see if I have a new friend." Your dog has enough friends already between you and your girlfriend, Taylor. Don't worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
Yes, it's cool if they play, but don't worry about it. So if it's clear, yes. If it's not clear, it's not worth it.
Right. Because if I allow it one day and then don't allow it the other day, dog's going to be confused as to why it can't go meet that other dog, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's part of it, but the bigger part that I'm actually seeing is the fact that if the other dog is not sure, so humans have a hard time saying no. They just do, naturally. It's just hard. Like, you get a telemarketer and like 10 minutes in you're like, "I gotta go," and they're like, "But I gotta tell you a little bit more," and you just hang on the phone, right?
Yeah.
So we have a hard time as humans just saying no, "I gotta go." We even have harder times with dogs. and realize that if somebody says, yeah, let's just try it, not worth it to you, because if your dog gets attacked or nailed or whatever, it's going to mess you up mentally. It's going to mess your dog up mentally and physically. So unless you can see clear signs that the other dog is submissive and super friendly, it's not worth exposing yourself to the probability of your dog being attacked or into a fight, because it'll mess you guys up both.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess then my other question, with the with the slip collar, like just going on a regular walk, obviously it might not be a training session, but I might want to correct as we go. So should I walk with the slip collar, like just on a regular day-to-day basis?
Yeah. I know what your mindset is in that situation is control versus recess, and that's going to be determined by your vocal commands.
Okay.
Heel means heel, which means you have to work. Break means do whatever the hell you want. You're a dog, you're a puppy, you're young, play, go pee, go poop, whatever. So yes and no. Yes, have your slip collar on, but only utilize it when the dog is working.
Okay. Working as in being in a training session.
Well, in a drive. I have a lot of videos on that.
Okay. What else do I got before I leave you? I guess, yeah, you already touched on it, but just when like visitors, families, and friends come over, the whole excited dog jumping up and everything, it's kind of a tough one to practice, right? Because I can't be calling people to come over every day. So what would be the best way to try to enforce that or improve on it or practice it?
I would just say just take it as it comes. When people come over, work on it. And then, you know, on other days, just be realistic, you know. Yeah. Having even, like, honestly, like, people overlook this, that Taylor is going to be the best guest of all time, right? Yeah. As your relationship continues, she's going to be the hardest person to train with, because your dog's going to care the most about her.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm home from work. Get ready. Okay. You put your slip collar on. You put your leash on. Taylor comes in. Place. Down stay. Taylor comes in, ignores the dog, walks to the fridge, grabs a water, whatever, sits down, break, let your dog go see Taylor. But okay. Working on that obedience is super. Obedience is just literally listening until you're given a command not to, or just obeying until you say otherwise, because you're in charge. Dogs are just insane, and they make such bad decisions, and they'll get themselves killed if they don't have guidance. They're like, ooh, ball, boom, ooh, a pill, boom, so just make sure that you're giving your dog structure to say, hey, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. So using Taylor as a distraction would be one. If you do have friends and family over, just say, let me know when you're here, watch for them when they come in, and start working on your training process throughout that time frame.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. The whole word socialization, just with, it's coming from Taiwan, right? So I don't really know what kind of environment it's been in within the city and the noises and the smells and all that kind of stuff. We'd like to be able to take our dog, you know, downtown Vancouver, which is crazy busy and all kinds of noises and smells and stuff to eat and lick on the ground. Is there like too much socialization, like exposing the dog to too much right away?
Yeah, for some dogs, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you may get an insecure or less patient dog, and they just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
You may get a really balanced, I don't give a crap dog who can take as much love as much as possible. So that's going to be determined off your dog's personality.
Okay. What else? I think we're good.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope that you guys, you know, are successful and happy, and, you know, I'm always here. So if you have any other questions, concerns, or comments, just give me a shout and I'd be happy to help you.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check in a couple months or so and let you know how it's going.
So that's it for today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Follow me on Instagram at Tom Davis or my business at Upstate Canine Academy. You can follow us on Facebook, America's Canine Educator, YouTube, which has tons of free content, just YouTube/ America's Canine Ed. And just so you guys know, I do online stuff. And so like this, we basically go through everything. So if you guys are interested in working with me online, you certainly can. Just visit my website at americascanineeducator.com. And I will talk to you guys next time. Peace.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.